Big Oil Check-In, exploring the end of the age of oil.
The population issue has gone off the public discussion agenda. So said Nat Frothingham of the newspaper The Bridge in Montpelier, Vermont, last week, while moderating a rare public discussion of population. He continued, "It's not in the New York Times, it's not on TV, it's not being dealt with in circles like this." The lunchtime and early afternoon gathering of over 60 people was a start to getting the issue back on the public agenda. The Bridge plans a newspaper supplement following up on the gathering. Orca Media filmed the event for broadcast on public access. And at least one radio commentator sat at one of the tables. The discussion was respectful, but messy. It went all over the place. UVM political science professor Frank Bryan kicked things off with a relaxed 40-minute introductory talk, reminding us that Vermont in general, and Vermont small towns in particular, experienced a dramatic drop in population from the mid-19th to the mid-20th century. The state's population began climbing again around the time of the 1960 census. He also identified what, to my mind, is a key question about Vermont's population. Are we empirically overpopulated in Vermont? Unfortunately, after stating the key question, he made no attempt to address it during his talk. When I asked him about it afterwards, he was unclear about whether he considered overpopulation a scientific issue, related to carrying capacity, or an aesthetic issue of how the landscape looks. The discussion continued for nearly an hour after the speaker left for his next engagement, and people brought up diverse questions and concerns. One said, "Overpopulation is a myth." Another alleged that the U.S. government is participating in forced sterilization programs in other countries. Others emphasized helping women achieve the family size they desire and described African countries where each woman has 5 children or more. Some did try to bring the population question home to Vermont. Dave Grundy, active in the peak oil preparedness movement, pointed out that Vermont spends over $1 billion a year on importing energy and another $1 billion on importing food, which he thought pointed to the state already being over carrying capacity. The means of making sure that the population of the state, or the planet, doesn't exceed the carrying capacity were also discussed. A man sitting at a table designated for representatives of Vermont Right to Life was outraged that the Vermont legislature was right now debating euthanasia. "I'm aware of no such debate. He may have been talking about a bill generally referred to as death with dignity or physician-assisted suicide, depending on whether you favor it or are against it." Representatives of the Population Media Center and Planned Parenthood described how their biggest priority was making sure that women had the tools they needed and wanted to control their family size. And Dave Grundy said that Mother Nature thumbs her nose at ethics, borders, and governments, and she'll cull a population overshoot drastically if we don't take less draconian measures first. I was interested in the lunchtime fare, dominated as it was by meat sandwiches. I had come to the meeting from a radio show I host, where I had played a statistic-filled talk by Rajendra Pachauri, head of the Nobel Prize-winning International Panel on Climate Change, about the huge impact meat consumption has on climate change. One statistic that stayed in my head was that 1 kilogram of beef is responsible for as much carbon dioxide emissions as driving an average European car 250 kilometers. Or in U.S. terms, the beef alone in a quarter pounder is equivalent to driving 18 miles. The carbon footprint of these sandwiches symbolized part of the debate that mostly or entirely went missing, the effect of technology, affluence, trade, and behavior on local and planetary carrying capacity. For example, the U.S. is one of the most overpopulated countries on the planet, when you consider our consumption relative to our own resources or the planet's. Just look at crude oil use and population. China and India together have almost 2.5 billion people, about 8 times the U.S. population. Yet the U.S. uses 65% more crude oil than those two countries combined. What is the maximum human carrying capacity for a country or the planet? It depends on how we're willing to live. The age of oil, since the 1860s, has seen a steady rise in fossil fuel use and in human population. There's probably a connection between the population rise and the increased energy use. As we pass peak production for fossil fuels, what can we do to keep in check the Malthusian controls on population, war, disease, and famine? Around 1 billion people, are already malnourished. Frothingham's right. It's a mystery why population has not been on the public agenda. I'm Carl Ettenayer, and that's this week's Peak Oil Check.
Peak Oil Check-In was produced by Relocalizing Vermont Productions in association with WGBR Plainfield.